And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Great to be with you today, and we're going to be examining, if that's the correct word, some secrets. And this is volume 177. You know, we do this about once a month. We looked at news and things that the control media either dare not touch or, well, they, you know, try to give you a politically correct spin. But we're not very politically correct here. You know, Tex Mars, he's just a mean old anti-Semite, politically incorrect, homophobic, I don't know what else they could call me, but they've called me about everything there is, so I'll just go, I accept it all. I confess, I'm whatever they say I am according to their standards. But you notice I added that little bit, their standards. I'm an anti-Semite according to their standards. I'm, you know, a bad, bad man, but according to their standards, which are not very high, you know. So, well, got a lot of things to talk about today. The British family, boy, they've been in the news with this Kate Middleton marrying Prince William. All kind of things going on there. They said that Prince William fell in love with her the first time he saw her in a see-through dress. All he could see was the panties and something else. He fell in love immediately. Now, people used to ask, you know, the question, what, is it love or is it lust? And I'll let you decide that. You know, I'm not judgmental. You know, Tex Mars, I do not judge anybody that doesn't deserve it. So, well, we got a lot to go here. Actress Elizabeth Taylor, she passed away and she's with, well, who's she with? I'm going to let you decide that. I have an idea. I know one thing. If you meet your former husbands in up in heaven, well, there's going to be a crowded Elizabeth Taylor household because she sure had a lot of them, didn't she? There was one thing you could say about her that, you know, she said, I'm not the kind of woman that shacks up with a man. I always marry him. Well, I guess you could say that's a positive thing. You know, when she fell in love with a man, she married him. So, but most women in Hollywood aren't doing that today. They just shack up with them, have a baby, and go on to the next one, don't they? Don't mean, you don't want to have to pay a pastor a few hundred dollars to say some words, do you? And then, well, why not save some bucks? Just shack up. Okay, we're going to be talking about Elizabeth Taylor, though. Gaddafi of Libya. He's a Jew. Well, that's what an Israeli woman says. We'll look into that. Fitness guru Jack Lalanne dies. We'll look into what his situation was. Our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the original architect was a man named Pierre Lafont. Hey, I did Jerry. Jerry's over at the console, you know, playing with the buttons over there. Jerry, when are you going to do some work, quit playing with all those buttons on that machine? He says, never. He's got this big old thing, and it's got little knobs you turn and all that. It looks very impressive. He's, you know, the broadcast engineer. Jerry's also our webmaster, and he does a lot of great things there as well on our website. Anyway, no, he's pretty brainy. That's why I make fun of him, you know, about not working over there at that console. He works very, very hard. I appreciate Jerry a lot. Well, Germany's chancellor says multiculturalism is a failure. We've heard from Charles Manson after like a 20-year absence. I thought the guy was giving interviews all the time, but I guess they keep repeating the old ones. But now he's come out and he said something, and, well, I tell you what, after listening to Charles Manson, I've totally changed my views. I've totally changed my views. It's a shock after Charles Manson came out with his statement from prison. You'll find out more about that. Obama's pal, he played golf with him all the time there in Honolulu. He's been arrested. You'll be surprised to find out what for. None of my pals have been arrested for that. Jerry, Have any of your pals been arrested for what Obama's buddy has been arrested? No, you don't run around with guys like that. Oh, yeah, I know you don't. Jerry is a football referee. He's one of those, he doesn't appreciate guys like this. Well, we'll tell you the secret of this when we come back. Best-selling authoress Ann Coulter. Boy, she writes some inflammatory books blasting the liberals, which, you know, I sort of like that kind of stuff. I've never really read her books, but I've seen her interviewed 100 times on TV about her books, and they all seem sort of fascinating. But what kind of girl is really Ann Coulter? Meanwhile, President Obama has a new social secretary. He's a strange fellow. A blast from the past. We'll look into what our first president, George Washington, had to say about a certain subject. And then, yes, I have an opportunity to say, I told you so, and we'll get into that as well. So, see, we have a lot of secrets for you today. We're going to go right into them and talk about it. Hey, one of the things that I do every day is read the foreign press. I find things there you won't find anywhere in America, even though they often tell you what's happening in America. I find out in the Daily Mail newspaper, the London Times or the Tehran Iran Times, the New Delhi newspaper, the Le Monde from over in Paris. All these foreign newspapers, I find out what's going on in my backyard because they hide all these things over here. Now, we heard all about Prince William and the new princess, maybe soon to be queen, Kate Middleton. But did you find out everything by watching TV? I mean, how many hundreds of hours were spent on the royal wedding? It was disgusting to me. Now, I know the women out there like it, you know, the formality, the wedding, and they go, ooh, look how she's dressed. Look how, you know. To me, you know, she could have worn flip-flops and, you know, a little summer dress and been, I'd have been just as happy. And he could have worn a t-shirt, you know, that says, you know, go Dallas Cowboys or something. That'd have been okay with me. I don't know. Am I a crude guy? Yeah, I probably am. But it would just seem a little bit over the top to me. But, you know, I'm not going to knock the royals if somebody likes them. You know, it's always been strange to me. You know, these people are actually Germans. Their background, they come from, you know, they're not even, they call them the House of Windsor, but they're not even, their name really is not Windsor. They came from Germany. Isn't that strange? Germans become the royalty of Great Britain. They used to have the mixture of all the races, and the Spanish king would send his daughter to be married to King Henry, and you know, and then the, you know, it got all mixed up there, didn't it? It's quite interesting how the royalty seemed to work. And then the Jews came in several centuries ago. The Jews wanted to, you know, edge their way in, and with their money, they were able to buy these titles, become, you know, duke or baron or whatever these words are. We don't have many of those in Texas. Do we have any I guess we have people we could say are like land barons. Or, you know, cattle barons. They don't really have any, like, big certificate hanging on the wall, but we just call them that, right? Sometimes we make fun of them, you know, like that. And like Ross Perot, show him with big ears. And I guess he would be a computer baron, right? Or the Duke of the computer world. I don't know. Hey, but let's talk a little bit about the royal family. First of all, Kate Middleton seems like the nicest girl. Very, very pretty. A little on the thin side, you know. But after all, they say you can't be too thin or too rich. It's interesting that they kept talking about how she came from common stock. She's a commoner. And her father, they said, was a coal miner. You know, I expected to see the guy with coal dust in his fingernails and, you know, his hair. He can't get the coal dust out and the wrinkles of his face are full of coal, or I don't know what I expected. Come to find out, he owns the coal mine or whatever. The guy's a millionaire. So she's not a poor girl at all. I don't call that a commoner, although I guess she doesn't have any royal title that they bought or whatever. Okay, so she's a rich girl. Let's face it. She really is. She's so rich she can buy see-through dresses. But if I wanted to wear a see-through dress, I'd just go buy some saran wrap. What's that, about $2.98 for a package? Wear this, Wanda. Of course, I could get in a lot of trouble in more ways than one. But she'd probably hit me with a package, wonk, you know, take this text. No, I wouldn't do that to Wanda anyway. Okay, here's the news for you. Turns out that at the wedding, it was performed. I think this is one of my secrets. Isn't this one of my secrets today? Oh, no, that's going to be next week. Oh, I'm saving that for next week. Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's next week, guys. Next week's program, we're going to talk about pastors, churches, and other wild things exposed. You'll be want to sure be here next week. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about the wedding, some strange things that you will not have heard anywhere else. I'll put it this way. On no TV or radio channel or anything, no newspaper, did they have what I'm going to tell you next week about the royal wedding. So I know all you guys out there, your tongues are open. You're saying, I've got to find out what happened at the wedding. The Tex Mars knows the incredible secret. That's next week. But I will say this about the royal family. Let's go to Prince Andrew. It seems that Prince Andrew is a bad, bad boy. He's been given daily massages, and I mean of the sexual nature, at a Jewish billionaire's mansion in Palm Beach, Florida. Now, this came out recently when the Jewish billionaire, a man named Jeffrey Epstein, was arrested by Florida authorities. He's awaiting trial now. Now, Epstein not only had sex with underage girls, and many of them, but he also passed them around to all of his friends, including Prince Andrew, one of the royal family there, as well as the Duke of York. The Duke of York, Prince Andrew. They would fly to Florida, and there they would have these underage girls, evidently, or at least that's alleged. One of them have a picture of Prince Andrew with a young girl who at the time evidently was only about 15. Her name was Virginia Roberts. And he enjoyed the services, would you call them that, of this Floridian girl, Virginia Roberts, so much that Jeffrey Epstein, the Jewish perverted billionaire from Palm Beach, Florida, had her put on a charter jet and flown to London so he could enjoy her some more over there. Now, living in the mansion with Jeffrey Epstein, in addition to all these underage girls, was a very rich woman named Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, Ghislaine, as it turns out, is the daughter, 49-year-old daughter, of the late shamed media mogul, the Jewish billionaire named Robert Maxwell. Now, Robert Maxwell owned newspapers all over the world, including in London, and even the New York, it was the Daily News, I think, or the, whatever, New York Post, Daily News, I don't know. He owned newspapers everywhere. He owned 6 or 7 big United States newspapers. And he died under very strange circumstances. Now, Robert Maxwell, as it turns out, when he died, he had no money. That's what happens to a lot of these big Jewish billionaire moguls. They seem to be rich and famous, and they jet set all around the world. They live in mansions, and they, you know, but when they die, they have no money. They're bankrupt. And that's because all of their money belongs to the nation of Israel or to the even higher up Rothschilds or other Jews. No sooner did Maxwell, this newspaper media mogul, die some years back than they said he was bankrupt. He never had any money. It all belonged to somebody else. Ah, yes. That's how Rothschild conceals a lot of his fortune, you see. Anyway, his daughter was living in this mansion with this Jewish billionaire, Jeffrey Epstein, who has now been arrested by Florida authorities. But actually, he was arrested for financial irregularity, sort of a mini Madoff, as I understand it. You know, Bernie Madoff on a miniature scale. But all these things about all these teenage girls, underage girls, were all alleged. And evidently, it turns out they must have been true. Now, not only did he have all kind of videos of these girls, because he took secret videos of all these celebrities that had sex with these girls. And now the Florida authorities have all these videos. So I guess Prince Andrew, the Duke of York, and who knows who else could all go to prison if the authorities in Florida ever release these things that they've got. But according to the Florida authorities, they're not interested in indicting these celebrities. In fact, they didn't really get around to indicting Jeffrey Epstein for some years after all the allegations began. It appears that maybe some of those videos might have some of the state police and the local police pictured. Anyway, they found at the mansion huge blow-up pictures of naked girls or girls in certain states of undress who were obviously juveniles. But Prince Andrew was one of these. In this mansion where he visited in Florida, where these naked pictures of young girls adorned the walls. What else was going on there, folks? I just don't know. There was, though, a picture that they found of this young Virginia Roberts. She's quite a beautiful girl. She and Miss Ghislaine Maxwell. And she was dressed very provocatively. And they were standing side by side, she and the Maxwell woman. And the Maxwell woman was wearing a black, totally black costume. And evidently they were fixing to go into some ritual. Now, why would you have a provocatively dressed young girl being escorted by another woman who's 49 years old wearing a black costume? Friends, I'm here to tell you that it probably had nothing to do with the Southern Baptist Church. And that's about all I can say. Okay, so if you thought I was going to blame the Southern Baptist, well, you're wrong. Okay, now we'll move on to the next item here. Zionist Elizabeth Taylor dead at age 79. She's a beautiful lady, one of the most beautiful women in the world. The Zionist Organization of America issued a statement of mourning for Taylor. They're going to miss her because she gave millions of dollars to Israel and Jewish causes. You see, Ms. Elizabeth Taylor converted to Judaism in 1959. And her rabbi, Max Nussbaum, had a lot of good things to say about her. She would buy Israeli bonds. She one time raised $840,000 for Israel because she got mad because it seemed that Elizabeth Taylor, being a Zionist, loved Israel, but she hated the Palestinians. She despised them. So she was more than happy to support, you know, arms for Israel so they could go out and kill and suppress and torture more Palestinians, evidently. She signed petitions to the United Nations complaining about the General Assembly's Zionism is racism resolution. She hosted Prime Minister Menachem Begin, Prime Minister of Israel, who was a known terrorist who slit people's throats when he was a young man. Anyway, she did everything she could for Israel and became a Jew officially. And now she's gone on to her reward. I wonder what that could be. Meanwhile, folks, talking about Jews, Elizabeth was openly a Jew, as was, by the way, Marilyn Monroe, Sammy Davis Jr. They all converted to Judaism as well. Anyway, here, this is from Arutz Sheva, Israel's National News Service. They say there have been rumors in the past about Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's Jewish roots, but now it seems to be confirmed. According to Arutz Sheva, a woman in Israel, living in Israel, a resident there named Gita Boron, claims that the Libyan dictator is her cousin, and that both she and he are Jews. That's a pretty shocking thing. Could it be that Gaddafi is a Jew, has cousins and family living in Israel? That's what Miss Boron says. Gaddafi's grandmother is my grandmother's sister, and she goes on and talks about it. She said it's only recently that Gaddafi has become anti-Jewish. He always loved the Jews and never did anything bad to them. She says, I thought he was just doing it to impress the Muslims in Libya. Now, folks, here's how I feel about these things. Often this is pure propaganda. The Jews maybe would like to see Gaddafi deposed, because Gaddafi was one of the ones who had exposed the fact that the Jews had hundreds of nuclear bombs that they had produced at Dimona, their plant, in the Negev Desert. And Gaddafi had talked about this on television and said, if the Iranians cannot produce nuclear weapons, why should we allow the Israelis to have them? Now, that was just too much for the Israelis. Now, I think that's one of the reasons why Gaddafi is now under attack by the Americans and the British and the French and the other allies. Is Gaddafi a Jew? Nah. They say this to incite the Libyan people against him. You can't believe anything you read. And listen to me very carefully. I'm going to make a statement, but it's true, folks. It really is. You know I'm your friend. I tell you the truth. Here's the truth. You cannot believe anything you read in an Israeli newspaper. Nothing. Similarly, you can't believe anything you read in an American newspaper. They're all owned by the Jews, too. So this is just propaganda to put Gaddafi in a bad light. Now, listen, I'm no friend of Gaddafi or any of them. But it's true. These kind of nonsense stories come out. Gaddafi has Jewish cousins living in Israel. Yes, and I've got, you know, I don't know. What if I don't know. Read the internet. You'll read all about Tex Mars. He's got all kind of things. There's the secrets. At least that's what the Jews say. They're writing articles about me too. Next thing they say, I'm a Jew. And who knows? Maybe I'm a Jew. Of course, in my new book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, I confess that I'm an anti-Semite. So if I'm a Jew, I guess I'm an anti-Semite Jew. Well, that's what Gaddafi was too. Now, I don't really think I'm a Jew. You know, I've never really been into genealogy very much. And, you know, my dad used to say I was Irish. But then later he changed it and said I was Scottish. And, you know, I've had a bunch of Marses contact me and say, oh, yeah, Tex, you're a Scot. You're from Scotland. If they say I'm a Scottish guy, I'm a Scottish guy. Now, my mother is French and a little bit of Indian and all kind of things, French. Her maiden name was Slayton. And, you know, in Louisiana, they pronounce that Slaton. Slaton. Whatever. I don't care. Hey, Mom, how do you pronounce it? Slayton? She, what kind of Indian were you? She said, I really don't know, but they told me. She said, I was 1/4 Indian. You know, I've been thinking about it. Maybe my mother should, you know, if you're Indian and you can prove your heritage, even part Indian, you get money free from the federal government. You know, my mother's retired on Social Security. I wonder if she can get money for being an Indian. Now, she's never lived on a reservation. She doesn't know anything about Indians. I guess we should go down and apply for it, right? Hey, she can get some of those oil lands. Yeah, she's probably, you know, they've been looking for her, probably been looking for her for a century. My mother, you know, Josephine Slayton. Well, okay. We turn to another man. I don't know whether he's Jewish or anything, but I've always sort of liked the guy. Jack LaLanne. Jack LaLanne from California. They said he was one of the strongest guys in the world. I think when he was like 80 years old or something, he put a big rope or a cable in his mouth and walked along the canal and pulled a tugboat, had the strength in his teeth and body to pull along a tugboat. I think that's true. Incredible. You know, the guy used to have a fitness program on TV. Anyway, I always thought he was sort of friendly. I said when I was a kid, he had a show on. Well, he died on January the 23rd, this American fitness exercise nutrition expert, celebrity, lecturer, motivational speaker. He was called the Godfather of Fitness. Let's see, how old was he? Born 1914. Wow. He's about 96, 97 years old. What pays to be fit, doesn't it? Listen, I do a lot of fitness. I got up out of bed this morning, went to the kitchen, to the breakfast table, had my cereal. That's probably about 100 feet. Walked to the car, moved my arm riding some today. I'm fit. I don't think I'm going to live till 96 or 97. Hey, the thing about Jack LaLanne, though, evidently turns out that according to the Masons, they say they acknowledge that he was a 32nd degree Mason. He was a knight commander of the Court of Honor. I don't know what all that means exactly, but he was a 32nd degree Mason. That's probably why he got the TV program in the first place. You know, they give a lot of... It's so interesting. Roy Rogers and Gene Autry, kings of the Cowboys, both were Freemasons. I did some researching one time. I found out that all of the Cowboys in the movies were all Masons. Now, Roy Rogers says that they asked him to be, you know, a movie star. And he said, I've never even rode a horse before. They said, we'll show you how. He could sing good. He was called the singing, you know, he and Gene Autry. Autry was called the singing cowboy. Anyway, I liked both Roy Rogers and Gene Autry. I suspect, like most Freemasons, they didn't know one thing about it. But they got pretty high up in the order because of their, you know, they were accorded all this honor because of their Hollywood plaudits. They probably got the Hollywood jobs because they were Freemasons. And all of the Hollywood potentates, you know, Cecil B. DeMille and all those guys, all of them were Jews. You know, it was like an empire of their own. In fact, there was a book about the Hollywood Jews, and it was entitled An Empire of Their Own. So Jack LaLanne had his Masonic career as well as his fitness career. Now, interestingly, there's been questions for many, many decades about a certain gentleman, Major Pierre Charles Lafont. You spell that L with an apostrophe, then E-N-F-A-N-T. By the way, the meaning of that is the infant, the child. Interesting. That was his name. Originally came from France. And now the Masons say they've done a lot of research, and yes, indeed, he was a fellow Mason. He was the architect of Washington, D.C. He laid out the city. He and Thomas Jefferson worked together. George Washington, you know, by approval of Congress, commissioned Jefferson and Lafont to design the city of Washington. Now, they got into some arguments a little later on, and after Lafont had designed 90% of the city, Jefferson fired him with Washington's approval. They just didn't get along because Jefferson was an architect also. His Monticello, his estate he designed. He also designed the State House, the capital for the state of Virginia, and I think some of the buildings at the University of Virginia campus. All this, Thomas Jefferson was a brilliant, brilliant man. Anyway, they say they've done some research now, and they find out there had been some questions before, but in fact, Freemasons say now they have discovered that, yes, indeed, they found some old registries and things like that showing membership, and Pierre Lafont was indeed a Freemason. Of the Holland Lodge number 8. Quite interesting. Okay. Most of our founding fathers were Freemasons, which I think is interesting. Well, when we come back in just a minute, folks, we're going to talk about multiculturalism and the reason why I've changed my views, tongue in cheek, after listening to Charles Manson. Ann Coulter, she's got a brand new image. We'll tell you about that. Obama's golf pal has been arrested. And a lot more for you. When we return, you're listening to Volume of Secrets. This is Tex Mars, and this is Power of Prophecy. Greed, money, murder, blood, conspiracy. All of those are some very inflammatory elements, and you'll find each and every one of those and a lot more in my newest book entitled Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. This is Tex Morris. You know, I've sort of gotten a reputation for writing, authoring, researching, and publishing some very huge and encyclopedic books. You know, Codex Magica, Mysterious Monuments, Conspiracy World. Well, now there's a new one added. And boy, it's just as big as a telephone book. 432 pages, large format, about the size of two books. So that would be a total of 800 pages in regular books. Hundreds of pictures as well. Eye-opening revelations and forbidden knowledge about Israel, the Jews, Zionism, Judaism, and the Rothschilds, and even the fall of America. Rothschild's plan for America, the fall of America. Is it really coming to fruition? Is it going to happen? Is our experiment with our republic, with freedom, with liberty, going to finally come to a smashing end? It sounds so unbelievable. Some people say you're a gloom and doomer, Tex. Well, you really need to read this book. I don't know of any book that I've ever written that is more important than Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. And I want you to understand, it tells you everything you need to know about the Six-Pointed Star, the so-called Star of David that's on the national flag of Israel. Rothschild was the one who insisted it be put there because he started it in the first place with the red shield, which was a six-pointed star emblazoned in red there in Frankfurt, am Main, Germany. Folks, this is more than just a six-pointed star, although you'll find out that's the star of Satan, of Lucifer, of Rothschild, but of the god Saturn, of Kiun, Rimfan, Sirius, the dog star. Amazing things about, folks, I don't want to overstate this. I don't want to be too dramatic. But there's never been a book like this. And you know, God has helped me with this book. I can't tell you how many hours of midnight oil I've burned. They'll tell you here at the ministry because I was at home working in my office there and on the breakfast table and everywhere I could find a place. Surrounded by thousands of articles and rare books and manuscripts and notes. And all of it has come together in this book. And you know what? Next week, we're going to get it in. Looks like next week, we'll have this book. And those of you who have already ordered it, we're going to ship you the first copies. You can order your copy, too. Order it today. And it'll be in probably by the time you hear this program, within just another week or so. And we'll get it right off to you. It'll be to you before it's available at Amazon.com or the local bookstore, if the bookstores have the courage to even offer this book. Everything you want to know, revelations, forbidden knowledge, Israel, the Jews, Zionism, the Rothschilds. Some people say, Tex, you're insane to put out a book like this. They'll probably kill you. Well, you know, that's in God's hands, his timing. But I'm not going to quit writing and publishing the truth because of threats, because of bullies, because of intimidation. I'm not going to do it. Please, order this book. I've put my life on the line for the truth so that you'll know the truth. You'll know why America is being financially, economically, intellectually, spiritually crushed. Boy, they've got us in their sights. They've got us in their sights and they want us gone. You've got to read this book, the most amazing book you will have ever read. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Order it today. That's $25. I think it's $30 at the bookstores. We'll give you $5 off, but then we ask $5 to ship it. That means you get it home, basically, for the price that you'd get it at the bookstore. You won't have to go out to a bookstore. Order it from us. We'll send it right to your home in a plain brown paper wrapper. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star by Tex Mars. The cover alone will shock you. I'm not going to tell you what's on the front cover. But when you see it, you'll go, wow, that is astonishing. You'll be astonished by the cover, and every page in this book will stun you, I promise you. Order this book, things you've never heard about. I mean, I'm going to tell you about Nixon, Billy Graham, Spiro Agnew, Harry Truman, Franklin Roosevelt, the murders of George Patton and Secretary of Defense Forrestal. And I mean, I've got history, finance, religion, and the future of America and you and I in this book. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Please order by phoning us toll-free 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Or go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. It's right there. Type in powerofprophecy.com. And it comes right up and you'll see the picture of the book, the front cover of the book. It's a stunning book. I promise you. I mean, I read it again after I was the one who wrote it, and I read it and I was astonished when I wrote it, when I read it. Amazing. $25. Please add $5 for shipping and handling. $30 total. Ask for the book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. Our address, of course, is Power of Prophecy, or text Mars. M-A-R-R-S. I know it's misspelled. T-E-X-E. I know Texas misspelled, but that's what my birth certificate says. And by the way, I've got a real birth certificate. It's signed by somebody. I'm alive. I'm real. I can't say the same thing about Barack Obama. Okay. That's address is 1708 Patterson Road, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Again, phone us during the work week, Monday through Friday, Central Standard Time, 8 to 5, 8 to 5:30 quite often. And our phone number again is 512-263-9780. Hey, or save yourself some money and just phone toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. Now let's return to our regular program. Greed, money, murder, blood. That's the book we were talking about. But I'd like to tell you about the new burger chain. You know, America's becoming a very coarse place. Vulgar, isn't it? They use the F word, the SH word. All these words on TV now, all the time. Our presidents, our vice presidents do the most filthy things now. And talk about, you know, body excrements and... I'm getting sick and tired of hearing this junk. Filthy mouth people are running America. Well, now they have a new hamburger chain. You've heard about, you know, McDonald's and Wendy's and Burger King. Well, now it's Fat Ho Burgers. The Fat Ho. F-A-T, the second word, H-O. Fat Ho Burgers. I understand there's three stores now, fast food stores in Houston, Texas. There'll probably be a Fat Ho Burgers in your neighborhood soon. Unbelievable. Pretty disgusting. Part of that may be because of multiculturalism. They want to end nationalism. They want to erase all borders. And so they've been pressing us into this new society of multiculturalism. Now, it's not working. Now, interestingly enough, Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, gave a speech recently, and she said multiculturalism is not working. Wow. And the very day she said it, she signed a new law into effect in Germany approving hundreds of thousands of more immigrants to come and live and stay and work in Germany. The very day she said multiculturalism is not working, she signed a law which brought a bunch of workers into Germany. Even though Germany's unemployment rate is historically about as high as it's ever been, except right after World War II. Meanwhile, David Cameron, the new Prime Minister of England, in a speech said, unbelievably, multiculturalism is not working. But he's also continuing to promote multiculturalism. Then we have our esteemed president, Barack Obama, who goes to El Paso, Texas, where every year hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens from Mexico, and by the way, I just found out that Last month alone, 35,000 Pakistanis and Indians came across the border, across Texas. Indians from India, Pakistan. They're Indonesians, all these foreigners. I thought there was only Mexicans and Guatemalans and, you know, Central Americans and South Americans coming across the Mexico border into our border states, New Mexico, Arizona, California, Texas. No! First they go to Mexico, they fly into Mexico or take a ship into Mexico from India, Pakistan, Indonesia, China, and so forth. And then they climb the fence or just walk across the border into the United States. Now, the Transportation Safety Department is patting up women's crotches and men's buttocks and doing the most amazing things to us at the airports when millions a year are coming across the border down there unimpeded. What can we have no security. So what's the Transportation Security Administration doing? Grabbing hold of everybody's bodies, including up their crotches. It's just Big Brother's way to tell you, you have no privacy, no body, nothing. We own you, body and soul. That's what they're trying to tell us. Now, while our wives and our mothers and our young daughters and sons are being groped by these weirdos in our airports, millions of illegal aliens are pouring across the borders down south of us. Multiculturalism is in style, and Barack Obama goes to El Paso, Texas, and goes, ha, ha, ha. And he makes fun of us who want border security by saying, the next thing you know, the Republicans, they're going to want to dig moats like they had, you know, back in the days of the knights, the kings and all. They'll want to build moats, you know, dig moats around America on the border down there and put in alligators to eat people to try to cross. Well, you know, Barack, that's not a bad idea. Moats with crocodiles and alligators. I like that idea. I think that would keep out the Indians and the Nicaraguans and the Mexicans and the Chinese and the Pakistanis. Try to cross over in America and you can be eaten by crocodiles. I think even put up a few posters showing some folks getting eaten by crocodiles. And I bet you anything, we wouldn't have much trouble. And we don't need a fence. Let's have a moat. I like that. Good idea. Thank you for the idea, Barack Obama. But we know you were just making fun, weren't you? Because you don't see anything wrong with those tens of millions of illegal aliens. By the way, it keeps being reduced by the government. 5 years ago, the government admitted 12 million illegal aliens. Just the other day, the government came out and said, we have 11 million. Millions more coming over every year, but it keeps being reduced in numbers by ICE, the Immigration Department. Baloney. You know, one of the largest New York stock market firms, Bear Stearns, did a study about 8 years ago. Lou Dobbs reported it on his program on CNN Network. They said up to 35 million illegal aliens were living in America. 35 million. That was about 8 or 9 years ago. How about that? Now, that's some statistics maybe we can believe in. You can't believe the government. 11 million. 11 million, my eye. Multiculturalism does not work, says Chancellor Merkel, says Prime Minister David Cameron. What does Obama say? Well, they're going to be asking for moats and alligators next. Yeah. Hey, here's something. If you want to believe in something, believe in what Charles Manson said. It's got to be true. Oh, I know he's a Looney Tune. The guy's so nuts he took a pen with permanent ink and tattooed himself with a Nazi swastika right between his eyes on his forehead. That shows you right away the guy's really a smart man, doesn't it? Well, according to the newspapers, and I'm reading again now the Mail newspaper from over in Great Britain, the Daily Mail, Charles Manson finally has broken a 20-year silence, and he did it on the 40th anniversary of the gruesome Sharon Tate Abigail Folger murders. He waited till the 40th anniversary, and he's been silent for 20 years. You know, folks, I actually could have stood another 20 or 40 years without hearing from him myself. In fact, I think the guy should have gone to the electric chair some 40 years ago, but, you know, that's just Texmore speaking. I'm just a mean, mean old man. But Charles Manson used a prison telephone to give an interview because he wants everybody to know that global warming is true. He's warning the world about global warming. And I thought about it. This man is so brilliant. He is so smart. It must be true. Jerry, I'm going to be an environmentalist from now on. Because Charles Manson believes in global warming. Of course, so does Barack Obama. And as far as I know, weepy Mr. Boehner, he probably believes in it too. I remember that Glenn Beck and, Bill O'Reilly, they both said they believe in global warming. Now, I understand that Beck is sort of changing his mind. And O'Reilly's sort of wishy-washy on it now. Newt Gingrich said he believes in it. Mitt Romney says he believes in it. Ron Paul said it's baloney. You know, Ron, maybe I will vote for Ron Paul after all. On the other hand, folks out there, listen to me. What about Charles Manson? He says global warming is true. And from now on, he's going to be championing environmental causes from behind bars. He says the bad things are being done to the environment. If we don't wake up to that, there's going to be no weather because our polar caps are melting because we're doing bad things to the earth, he says. Now, he should know about bad things, shouldn't he? Man. You know, first, all those environmental scientists at all these weather places around the world, they all lie and deceive everybody. Now, they've been caught. Global warming gate or whatever they call it. And now they've got their pal Charles Manson preaching environmentalism for them. It's getting loonier by the day, isn't it, Jerry? Oh, well. No, I really am not going to change my views. Global warming. Only when Charles Manson is speaking does the air warm just a little bit, folks. Okay, now, Ann Coulter. She's written so many books, Blasting the Liberals. Well, she was invited to a gay group to speak. Go Proud, the Washington, D.C.-based advocacy group for gay Republican conservatives. Miss Coulter, well, she supported the group in a big, big way. She dressed up. She wore a black lace-up cocktail dress and black high heels. She posed for a photograph with the founder of Boy Butter, a maker of sex lubricants. She joked about her fellow conservatives. She says, yes, that was, and it, by the way, it really was, Elton John at Rush Limbaugh's wedding. She warmly greeted a pornographic film director. She says the gay t-shirts she saw were all, quote-unquote, fabulous. Well, she said that's one of the reasons she was against Muslims, because they didn't like gays. You never know what gay supporter you'll find lurking in the Republican Party. Now, she's an icon of the Republican Party and among the conservatives. But, she said some other things I'm going to leave out here. But she boasted of all of her gay friends. She said everybody wants a gay neighbor. Well, not everybody. I don't think Tex Mars wants a gay neighbor. Anyway, she turns up that she might be gay herself, although she didn't really quite confess it. She says that she does have a friend, and I don't know if it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend. She talks about the Jews she's dated. I don't know if, again, if it was a Jewish gay man or woman or just what. Now, let's see. She's got a lover or a significant other who's a Jew. She's promoting gayism. At this Go Proud, a gay conservative group. Well, she was on the Sean Hannity show and said she had a great gay time. It was so much fun being there. I just bubbled over, she said. And by the way, she said, I don't know, I don't have any problem at all about gays who want gay marriage. Well, Ann Coulter has a new image now. Gay all the way. By the way, all this was reported in the New York Times reporter Laura Holson. Talking about gays, Obama's been pretty busy in that department. In fact, you know, there's a man named Sinclair who's written a book, Larry Sinclair, who says he was Obama's gay lover. He's a white gay man from Chicago. Said they used to meet in the back seat of Obama's limousine. Now, you know, I doubted it first, but then when I did my own study, and folks, you know, I did the video, number one best-selling on Amazon, by the way, video entitled Rothschild's Choice, Exposing Barack Obama. And I found out that, yes, indeed, I believe he absolutely is bisexual. That's right, Obama is bisexual. Well, it seems that back in Kailua, Hawaii, one of his very best friends, and every time he goes back to Hawaii, Barack Obama looks this guy up. I guess he's a guy, although he's probably one of those girl guys, you know, half and half. His name is Bobby Titcomb. Yeah, that's a real spelling. T-I-T-C-O-M-B, 49 years old. Now, poor old Bobby Titcomb was arrested at South and Pohukana Streets, April the 6th, 2011, during a prostitution sting operation by Honolulu police. Turned up that Titcomb, who is a commercial fisherman and airline employee, and as I said again, he's Obama's friend, and when Obama goes down to visit his old pals in Honolulu, Hawaii, he calls up his friend Bobby and they go play golf. Now they may do other things, I don't know. But everybody knows that they play golf because they see them together. Meanwhile, Titcomb has been arrested in a sting operation for soliciting prostitutes. But not women prostitutes, male. Male prostitutes. Oh yes. He's a homo. Now, meanwhile, by the way, I get all this information from Hawaii News Now, KGMB, and KHNL TV stations. And, of course, the Honolulu News Service, Hawaii News Now. By the way, it says here that Bobby Titcomb and President Obama have been close friends since their childhood days at Punahou School. The two are frequently, I'm reading right now from the news report. The two are frequently seen on the news reports, golfing, playing basketball, and dining together when the Obama family vacations in Hawaii. Strangely, Michelle doesn't usually appear with them. I wonder why. I guess she's doing something else with the women. I don't know. Now, Obama has just named a new White House social secretary. And she, he, but does it really matter? He, she, is a homosexual. Jeremy Bernard is Obama's new social secretary. He's the first gay man who's openly gay to fill that role. Makes sense to me. If you're gay yourself, you need a gay social secretary. I mean, you know. Now, listen, I know there are a lot of people say, well, you know what, Tex? What does it really matter? As long as he's a good president, you know, it didn't matter if Bill Clinton had sex with that woman. And it don't matter if Ramrod Obama has sex with Bobby Titcomb. What does that matter as long as they do a good job? Well, you know, it seemed to matter to George Washington. Here's a blast from the past, folks. March the 10th, 1778, General George Washington approved the dismissal from service of Lieutenant Frederick G. Insulin for, quote, attempting to commit sodomy with another soldier. George Washington said in his statement he viewed the act with, quote, abhorrence and detestation. In other words, he detested it. He said that he detested such infamous crimes. Now, Washington's papers, including this one, are found in the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. Hey, I suggest to Barack Obama that since he's too busy to do things like get his birth certificate and all those things, he send his new social secretary, the homo man, over to the Library of Congress and get a copy of this statement by General George Washington about the sodomy crimes of this lieutenant. Meanwhile, we're going to go to a final thing. I think it's a final thing. We got anything else on the agenda I need to talk about, Jerry? I'm not sure. But I did want to tell people, you know, in my book, Conspiracy World, I exposed the murder of Chandra Levy. And I told you exactly how it happened, that it was a satanic ritual at Rock Creek Park, and that's where her body would be found. And you know, after I wrote that, her body was found in Rock Creek Park. A lot of people say, Tex, how did you know that? How did you do that? How were you able to predict that her body of Chandra Levy, this congressional assistant to Congressman Gary Condit, how did you know that her body would be found in Washington's Rock Creek Park? Well, I did know. It turns out that they finally, after all this time, have released more information about the situation of her body. The autopsy showed that former U.S. Representative Gary Condit's semen was found on underwear belonging to Chandra Levy. That's according to the FBI laboratory. Wow. Her panties were retrieved, and Gary Condit's DNA was found. Okay, well, there it is. Now we have a little bit more interesting about Chandra Levy's sacrificial death by the elites in Washington, D.C. This has been Tex Mars. You know, we've been looking at a volume of secrets, a lot of fascinating, interesting, and sometimes very odd and terrible things. But I believe truth should ring across America. I believe that's part of liberty and a free press. I may be stupid, I may be dumb to believe such things, but I even believe that what George Washington did and said about the infamous act of sodomy, I believe that was true too, and still stands today, even in these very weird times. Well, my friends, my prayer is that you'll tune in each week here on Power Prophecy. Tune in and discover the power of Jesus Christ and His prophecy.